Good morning. Will you turn to John chapter 13, please? The Gospel of John chapter 13. As I loved you. This is the first of four messages from John on love one another. We have been through a few years when it's been unusually difficult for us all to love one another. That's never easy to do, but sometimes it's harder than other times, and these last few years have been like that. So a few sermons on this topic seem like a good idea. John chapter 13 verse 1 marks a big shift in John's gospel. Chapters 1 to 12 tell us about the Lord's public ministry, and it comes to a very clear conclusion there at the end of chapter 12, the summary of his public ministry. And chapters 13 to 21 begin with the Last Supper, the end. So they are about Jesus and his disciples and his death and resurrection. And how we live with each other comes up several times in this last section. So we're going to start with chapter 13, verse 1. He loved them to the end. So John chapter 13 verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus came from the Father, and he had a mission to accomplish, and then he would return to the Father. It was Passover time, which told Jesus that he was right at the end of his mission. He would lay down his life for his sheep, and he would rise from the dead, and then he would return to the Father. So the emphasis of this opening verse, John 13:1, is that the Lord's task was to love his own who were in the world, and he never got steered away from his task. When we've had a job, employment, for quite a while, and we know when it is ending, it can be hard to stay at it faithfully right to the end. We tend to slack off a bit, take it a bit easier, since we are leaving anyway. Jesus did not do that. A big part of his mission was to love his own who were in the world, and he did that right to the end. So, from here to the end of John shows us how Jesus loved them to the end. And so this verse sort of tells us the underlying theme of John chapters 13 to 21. He loved his own to the end. Did you notice here how John describes the 12 disciples? His own who are in the world. This is the Last Supper. The other Gospels make it clear that Jesus was with the 12. But John won't say the 12 disciples because he wants to include every believer in this. You and I are his own who are in the world. We belong to him, and we are in this difficult place. So in the world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. So we are his own who are in the world, and he loved us actively the whole time he was here. And so John writes it so that we'll understand it that way, and in a sense include ourselves in this, because we are his own who are in the world. He washed their feet, love in slow motion. This is John 13, verses 4 and 5. So John describes what Jesus does in seven separate actions. He got up from the meal. He took off his cloak. He picked up a towel and wrapped it around his waist. He poured water into a basin and started washing his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was around him. No one of these actions is special. If we know only that Jesus washed their feet, we probably could have guessed most of this. Why so much mundane detail? Because the act itself is astonishing. I like to watch sports on television, and when something unusual happens in a game, they often replay it in slow motion so we can see clearly what actually happens. So John does not have a camera, so he writes slow motion with words. Jesus washed their feet. But that's why he slows it down into seven steps. He's turning it into slow motion. People wore sandals in those days, and they walked everywhere, and they walked in the same places where animals walked. So there will certainly be dust and dirt on everyone's feet. And probably you had walked in some old manure and some fresh manure. So feet were unclean, and people were very careful about that. So the normal custom was that when people came to your home, you gave each person a basin of water so they could wash their own feet. That was proper hospitality. In Luke, Jesus was at the house of a Pharisee named Simon, and Jesus said, "You did not give me water for my feet." So it was shabby hospitality not to give Jesus water to wash his feet. But people did not wash each other's feet unless there were slaves in the household. And then the lowest slave in the house would wash other people's feet. A Jewish teacher was not allowed to ask his students to wash his feet. That was unfair to the student and degrading. So the teacher could not ask for that. So Jesus, the Lord and teacher, washed the disciples' feet. That was unbelievable. It was astounding, and that's why John gave us this in slow motion. It shows Jesus loving his own who are in the world and loving him to the end. "Unless I wash, you have no part with me." Verses 6 to 8. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." We will stop there. You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Now Peter can see what Jesus is doing. His Lord and teacher is about to wash his feet. Peter can see that, and that's just wrong. If Peter does not understand now, but he will later, that means there's more going on here than just the Lord washing feet, because that much Peter already understands. So Jesus ties his coming death to the foot washing. In a sense, his death explains the foot washing. So John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So when Jesus washed their feet, he washed away all kinds of crud, new and old. When Jesus laid down his life for us, he took away all kinds of spiritual crud, new and old. His dying for us was an act of humble service for us to clean us. So foot washing is a good object lesson of what his death did. "Unless I wash you," said Jesus, "you have no part in me." Unless the Lamb of God lays down his life for your sins, you are not one of mine. So for Jesus to die for us was serving us, just like washing our feet. The Son of Man came to serve and to give his life a ransom, says Jesus in Mark. Those feel to us like separate things, to serve and give life as a ransom. But they are not separate things for Jesus. They are not two separate things. To give his life as a ransom was an immense act of humble service for us, for you and me, included in this. You see, in John, we don't ever read that Jesus said, "This is my body, eat it. This is cup is my blood, drink it." That's not what happened at the Last Supper. In the other Gospels, we take the Lord's death to ourselves by eating the bread and drinking the cup. And in John, we let him wash our feet. What I did. Let's jump to verse 12. Do what I did. Do what I did. When he had finished washing their feet, this is chapter 13, verse 12, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, No servant is greater than a master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is not complicated. We're to live this way with one another. Do you know what I have done for you? I have given you an example. I have shown you what to do. So the emphasis is not on actual foot washing, although that is fine. The emphasis is on how we live with each other. Did you notice that Jesus does not talk to them while he serves them? He just does it. If Peter had not started a conversation, Jesus probably would have washed and dried all 24 feet without saying a word. We can serve each other with our words, but we can also do it without a word. We don't have to talk. We just act this way. Jesus does not use the word love when he explains his example. He just says, do this for each other. Do for each other what I did for you. But the chapter began with Jesus loving his own to the end, and the foot washing shows us how he loved them to the end. And now he says, and now you do for each other what I did for you. And the paragraph ends, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. People, we want that blessing. I want it, and you want it. We don't know what the blessing is exactly, but it will certainly be worth having. We want that. So let's nurture a hunger for that blessing. Let's ask for the blessing. If we ask him for the blessing, that means God will help us live that way, and then we'll receive the blessing. And what could be better? So we want to ask for that. Nurture a hunger and an appetite for that blessing. The new command. Now we'll skip farther to John chapter 13, verse 33. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. My brothers and sisters, Jesus did not just give us an example with a blessing attached. He gave us a command. He turned the example into a command. Do it. Love each other as I loved you. Do it. It's the new command. And this is not just the new command. It is also the last command. I tell you now, I am leaving. Here's what you will do while I am. Here's what you will do when I am gone. You will love each other as I loved you. This whole chapter has the feeling of Jesus leaving, this whole final section. Verse 1 said Jesus knew it was time for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Verse 3 says that Jesus knew he was returning to God. So when he tells the disciples in verse 33 that he's not here much longer, we already know that what that means. So this is not just a new command, it is also the last command. And it is not just the last command, it is our mark in our world, our mark in the world, our label, our brand. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus is real clear about what everyone needs from us. Jesus said, everyone needs to see a community that loves each other as I loved you. Everyone needs to see this. I want this to be your mark, your label, your brand. And Jesus says, it will work. If they see this, they will know that you are my disciples. This will convince them that you are my disciples. It will persuade them. Then they will know that you belong to me. The perfect church was like this. In Acts chapter 2, did you know there was a perfect church in the New Testament? There is one. The most perfect church that will exist before the Lord returns, real people in real time at the end of Acts 2. I'm not going to read it all. In the morning, that morning, those people were strangers to each other, Jews gathered in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven, total strangers to each other. And the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached, and 3,000 repented and were baptized. Their sins were forgiven, and they received the Spirit, and then they loved each other as Christ loved them. That perfect church did not stay perfect very long, but for a while they were, and since it is the only example of that, of the perfect church in the Bible, we need to pay attention to what those people did. And here's the thing, in 6 verses of details, the end of Acts 2, their whole lives were with one another, eating and sharing and praising God, all with one another. And here's how it ends. They enjoyed the favor of all the people, okay? They enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the non-believers in Jerusalem watched the life of that new group, and they were very impressed. Wow! What happened to those people? That's amazing what they do together. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. That is exactly the story of the one perfect church, which happens at the end of Acts 2. So I want you to be careful about something. There is almost no voice in church circles these days that thinks the Acts 2 church is the perfect church. There is almost no voice in church circles that thinks the new command, the last command, to love one another as Christ loved us, is what the world most needs from us. Okay? Of course, this is not exclusive. We, as individuals and as a church, help unbelievers around us that are in need, and we are friends to them. We enjoy them, and we do good to them, to those outside the church. Our church has always done that, and we will continue. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the voices that believe some kind of outreach activity to be the sign of a church that really follows the Lord. Some kind of outreach activity is the sign that a church really follows the Lord. It is very hard to find a Christian voice that says our relationships with each other are the most important thing that the church has to give the world. Jesus is clear about that in John 13-17, and it is the mark of the perfect church in Acts 2. But few take that and go with it. Our relationships with each other are the most important thing the church has to give the world. They are not the only thing the church has to give the world. God calls some to work outside the church, the most important being those that he calls to preach the gospel. But our relationships with each other are the most important thing the church has to give, and this one another love is the most important measuring stick of our faithfulness to God. So, what to do exactly? The good news here is that there is lots of humble care for each other happening in this body of believers and between us and believers in other churches. Much of this happens, so let's carry on. And for every single one of us, how we actually live it out will be different. So what you and I actually do to imitate Jesus washing our feet will vary immensely. So keep your eyes open as you go through life. Look for chances. Remember, it's the new command and it's the last command. And living this way with each other persuades the world that we follow Jesus. So just grab that and keep your eyes open, and the Spirit will take it from there. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you said that we would be blessed if we did these things. Thank you for how you've already led us like this. And Lord, we want that blessing. The blessing for those who follow your example. So help us and lead us and guide us. Work in us. We're hungry for that, so that we do what you said, and we will receive that blessing. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord direct our hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. May the Lord of peace give us peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You're dismissed.